Harry Potter and the Orb of Exuberance by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 76. Tis the Season, Part 1. At 6 o'clock on the nose, the familiar call of reveille echoed throughout the Horned Serpent Tower. It was the Monday right after Thanksgiving, and the groaning of hundreds of students permeated the corridors after the last note of the bugle played. Harry Potter stretched his arms and legs and let out a sleepy yawn as he climbed out of his four-poster to dress for physical training.
I'm still stuffed from Thursday evening, he thought to himself as he ducked behind his privacy blinds.
Hey, Harry!
Harry turned his head. Quentin Lugo, one of his roommates, had finished getting dressed but appeared to be missing something as he was on his hands and knees by his bed. He was a boy of about Harry's height, and while he had the same black hair as Harry, he preferred his to be on the longer side.
Oh, hey there, Quentin, what's up?
Quentin stood to his feet, dusting off his elbows and knees.
I can't seem to find my hair tie this morning. You haven't seen it by any chance, have you?
Harry shook his head no.
Sorry, I can't say that I have. You didn't leave it back home, did you?
Nope, replied Quentin.
I stayed at the castle this time. My sisters are still in the Beaubaton, remember. Since they don't celebrate Thanksgiving abroad, I figured it'd be easier to wait until Christmas before going home.
We don't have much time before we need to head out, but I'll keep my eyes peeled, Harry offered. Meanwhile, Athaniel Beckett, another one of Harry's roommates, placed a few pellets of rat food in a small crate on his nightstand.
There you go, Ephraim, he murmured. That should tide you over for the day.
Wait, what is that you're chewing on?
His rodent companion let out an indignant squeak as he plucked a small black stretchy band out of the crate.
My hair tie,
Quentin breathed.
I wonder how it got in Ephraim's crate.
Othniel shrugged.
I know, but I hope you can still use it. I mean, it still looks wearable, but you might want to double check first.
He handed the band to Quentin, who accepted it with gratitude.
Thanks, Othniel, he said as he inspected it.
I should be able to wear it today, but to be safe, I'll try and find one of our prefects so they can maybe cast a cleansing charm on it.
He turned to his left.
Ready, Jeremy?
Are you kidding? I've been ready,
replied Jeremy Dahlgren, a tall, lanky boy of Scandinavian extraction with platinum blonde hair.
Quentin nodded, then turned toward Harry and Athaniel.
See you guys out there on the pitch.
After Harry had cleaned up and put on his daily uniform, he headed down to the mess hall for a warm breakfast. He took his seat directly across from his best friend Anastasia Harrison, who was usually among the first ones at the Horned Serpent table. As usual, she had her nose in a book with a piece of fruit in hand. Harry greeted her with a bright smile on his face.
Hi, Anna.
Oh, good morning, Harry,
replied Anna with a sunny expression of her own.
It's good to be back to our old routine.
Speak for yourself, laughed Harry. Thanksgiving and Christmas are so close together, and they might as well take the whole month of December off. Anna tilted her head.
They could, but would you really want to be in class until July?
Not really, Harry mumbled, before grabbing a spoonful of oatmeal. Several minutes later, Hedwig, along with a flurry of school owls, swooped into the mess hall with letters and packages. Hedwig plopped a pair of letters, one for Harry and the other for Anna, and a team of no fewer than a half dozen owls set a medium-sized package next to Anna's letter. Harry's face brightened with excitement as he opened the envelope and read its contents.
24 November, 1992. Hey, pup. I heard you're spending your week off with Anastasia and her family. You have to tell me all about it when you come home for Christmas. Speaking of, I don't think you told me what you wanted this year. Let me know as soon as you get this and I'll do what I can by the time you come back home. We all love and miss you very much. Padfoot.
Meanwhile, Anna lost herself in the letter she got.
23 November 1992. Dear Anastasia, there's been so much happening at Hogwarts lately. I'm not sure I have enough ink and parchment to go over everything. I suppose we can start over one of our mutual interests. The Gryffindor Quizbowl team is off to a wonderful start. Both Gryffindor and Slytherin have one win each so far this season, but Gryffindor is leading in the running point total. I hope it holds up. Hermione saved the day last week in the final round as she was the only person in our house to come up with the correct answer. I know she's good enough to start, but she was just happy to help in any capacity. We're so lucky to have her on the team. About Hermione, she has a pen pal of her own. She writes to a boy named Draco as a student at Durmstrang, though he went to Hogwarts last term. From what I gather, Draco misses his friends from Hogwarts very much, but Hermione's letters are a significant source of comfort for him. I truly hope that Draco's father reconsiders his position about relationships with Muggleborns one day. But if there's one thing that might be stronger than his pure-blood pride, it's the love he has for his son. And that was very kind of you to invite Harry to spend the week at your family's place for your Thanksgiving break. I'm sure you'll have a wonderful time together. You'll have to tell me all about it in your next letter. Speaking of which, I've asked Professor McGonagall for permission to write to Harry, but she hasn't authorized me yet. I understand her hesitation, but I want to assure her that I can do so discreetly. Maybe I can convince her to stuff the same envelope with two letters and just address it to you? Maybe she can teach me a transfiguration spell that disguises the letter, or I can maybe write with invisible ink. You'll probably have to help him read it, of course. Finally, I wanted to be the first one to send you a Christmas gift this time. Once again, my goal was to give you something unique from Magical Britain. Thanks to my friend Ron's mum, I'm sure you remember the goofy ginger kid from last April, she was able to knit you this special jumper. I think they're called sweaters in North America. Mrs. Weasley is an expert at crafts, and while she mainly knits them for her family, she's been known to gift them to friends as well. Ron even asked his mum to knit Hermione and myself personalised jumpers this year. He said she was all too happy to oblige. I can't wait to hear back from you. In the event you don't receive another letter from me before then, I wish you and your loved ones a very happy Christmas. With love from Hogwarts, Daphne.
Anna grinned as she opened the package that went along with the letter and found an oversized teal knit sweater with a large golden A emblazoned on the front. She quickly slipped it over her head and arms.
"Wow, this is big," she murmured to herself, as the sleeves extended halfway down her palms. She looked at her friends.
"So how does it look on me?"
"About two sizes too big," chortled Harry.
"Seriously, that's really cool.
It looks really warm."
"It looks lovely," purred Tallulah. "That was very nice of Daphne to remember you."
"She even got the horned serpent color scheme right," added Othniel. "So what are you thinking of sending her for Christmas?"
Anna snickered. "A 5-pound fruitcake." After getting some disapproving groans from her friends, she shook her head.
"I'm kidding, yeesh. I'll ask my mom to see if she'll make some extra chocolate chip cookies for my Hogwarts friends. I should be able to enchant them so they'll stay fresh."
She turned toward Harry.
"Was that from back home by any chance?"
Harry nodded.
"Yeah, my godfather asked me what I wanted for Christmas."
"I'll need to think of something, and quick." He tilted his head.
"How can you enchant cookies if you won't have your wand?"
Anna giggled.
"I bought a personal wand when I was in Nestle Road before last term. Professor Fry said I could practice on the side as long as I just keep my spellcasting on the academic side. Enchanting cookies isn't strictly academic, but it's harmless magic. That said, I'll double-check with her before I leave to be safe."
"Good call," squeaked Tallulah.
"The last thing you need is a visit to Professor Fontaine's office to explain your use of unauthorized magic when you get back."
"So that was how you were able to fix my glasses last year," remarked Harry. "Your two wands look pretty similar, so I wouldn't have known the difference."
"My personal wand isn't as powerful as my school-issued wand, so it's not like I'd inadvertently cast fiendfire or anything," said Anna.
"It's a student wand, so it's imbued with magic dampeners, but it's still got enough oomph to ruin a careless pupil's day."
Othniel rubbed his chin.
"Why don't they put dampeners on school-issued wands? Lots could go wrong if there's no restraint."
"Because it's a controlled environment," answered Anna. "Ilvermorny itself acts as a magical dampener for student wands, and even if a mishap occurs, a faculty member is only seconds away."
"Unless that wand is the Orb of Exuberance," groaned Othniel. "Thank Merlin we don't have to deal with that rod or that maniac ever again."
Groaned Anna. "Don't remind me, Othniel. Normally the Cruciatus Curse doesn't leave scars, but as it came from the orb, it left a really nasty horseshoe-shaped mark on my right shoulder."
She looked at her enchanted wristwatch.
"Wow, it's getting close to 8. We better get moving if we're going to be on time for our respective classes. See you."
That Friday afternoon, in the midst of adding a few enchantments to his prized motorbike, Sirius Black's personal owl, a jet-black great horned owl named Chernabog, delivered Harry's reply.
"Dear Padfoot, it was so good to hear from you again. I can't wait to return to Surrey to see you for Christmas. As far as a gift goes, just spending time with you and hearing another one of your awesome stories is enough. However, there is one gift I want more than anything in the world. I know it's a long shot, but is there any way I can see my parents for Christmas? Even for just a little bit? I know that there are limitations in the magical world, particularly when it comes to the deceased, but I'm hoping that there's a way to bring them back, even for just a few hours. Ever since I've learned of their deaths, I've longed to hear their voices and feel their embrace without having to wait for the afterlife myself. I understand if it's beyond your abilities, but I thought I'd ask in the off chance that you could do it. With love from Ilvermorny, Harry.
Cool, Harry, Sirius mumbled to himself as he stroked his whiskered chin in thought. That would be an amazing Christmas present, but I wouldn't even know where to begin to make that happen.
After he'd finished tuning up his motorbike, he sped off to Roger and Rhonda Woodward's town home in neighboring Surrey to share the news.
You're not going to believe what the pup asked for Christmas is here, he told Roger and Rhonda after they invited him inside for tea.
Roger shrugged. I don't know, a Generalissimo broomstick. It's the only model around here that's significantly more expensive than the Matador.
Nah, replied Sirius as he handed them Harry's reply. Something far more valuable.
Both Roger and Rhonda's jaws nearly dropped to the floor after reading what Harry asked for in the note.
That's impossible, even in the wizarding world, blurted Rhonda.
Despite her lack of magical talents, she had acquired a fair degree of wizard culture over the years.
He might as well have asked for the moon.
Roger raised a forefinger.
Ordinarily, yes, but years and years ago, James once told me there was some family magic peculiar to the Potter lineage that could temporarily bring deceased relatives back to life, he sighed.
If you're going to pull this off, you'll need Harry's help, as only a Potter can cast the enchantment.
Blimey. I never recall James ever telling me that,
admitted Sirius with a sheepish frown.
Mass wizarding families are capable of certain feats of magic that other witches and wizards can only cast with extreme difficulty, if at all. But I would never have thought resurrection was something the Potter family was capable of, even in a limited capacity.
All I can suggest is that you take Harry to Gringotts in London so he can access the Potter family vault, said Roger. He's excused from his classes roughly a week before Christmas, so maybe you need to meet him at Ilvermorny and book a muggle flight to Heathrow.
And if you're going to do it, I expect the both of you to be back by 6 o'clock Christmas Eve,
interjected Rhonda. Sirius let out a chuckle.
I guarantee it. With the latest improvements on the old motorbike, hello, invisibility charm, we should be back well before Christmas Eve dinner.
I'm holding you to that, Padfoot, Rhonda squeaked. If you're even 1 minute late.
And do be careful on that contraption, added Roger.
I know you maneuver the bike like a maniac, but you've got more than yourself to worry about.
Sirius shook his head dismissively.
You needn't worry, Rog. Besides, I'm sure Harry would love to tell you all about it when he gets back.
Thursday, December 17th, 1992. 7:15 p.m. Festive sights, sounds, and scents permeated the Horned Serpent common room. Several students could be spotted sipping hot chocolate near the fireplace. Others were playing cards or board games. Harry was sitting with Anna, watching Othniel and Tallulah get in a round of gobstones when a most unexpected call urged him to his feet.
Harry Potter.
The voice belonged to his househead, Professor Fry, and judging by her tone, Harry figured it to be urgent, so he made his way towards her, post-haste.
Yes, Professor?
Fry nodded at Harry.
I'll need you to come with me, please.
She deftly activated old Margie, and after answering her riddle, escorted Harry to her office. Harry swallowed the lump in his throat just as Fry opened the door to her office. He didn't recall breaking any rules recently, but then he remembered last year's episode when he was accused of cheating on his potions midterm exam. Lightning couldn't strike twice, could it? His fears instantly vanished when he recognized the familiar handlebar mustache and mutton chops of his godfather. He instantly rushed up to Sirius, wrapping him up in a warm embrace.
Padfoot, he cried out. I wasn't expecting to see you here.
Sirius chuckled.
Hello, pup. I got your reply for Christmas. Needless to say, I wasn't rightly sure how to respond to your request, so I thought it'd be better to tell you in person. You'll be leaving with me tomorrow morning.
Harry threw Sirius a stunned expression.
So, are you able to make it happen?
Sirius shook his head.
Me? Nah, that's not something I can do. Well, you on the other hand.
What do you mean, me?
Asked a bewildered Harry.
I'll explain in the way, Sirius replied with a smirk.
Fry threw Sirius a dubious look.
I hope you're not planning on doing anything illegal, Mr. Black.
Sirius threw his head back and laughed.
Not at all, Professor. I'm just taking Harry to London tomorrow so we can learn a little bit of family magic.
All right, sighed Fry. Just be careful, the both of you.
She then gave Sirius a stern look.
If I find out you're responsible for any troublemaking on either side of the Atlantic, I'll have you barred from school grounds permanently. Sirius let out another chuckle.
Do you need me to swear an unbreakable vow?
That won't be necessary, replied Fry, unable to resist rolling her eyes.
Your word will do.
She turns to Harry, offering a tiny smirk. You're excused, young man. Your godfather will meet you in the mess hall at 9 a.m. She let out a sigh before addressing Sirius again. If you'll follow me, Mr. Black, I'll show you to the guest quarters.
See you tomorrow, Pump, said Sirius as he got up to follow Fry. You better get some rest this evening. We've got a bit of a journey ahead of us.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Chamber by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.